Neuwerk, der Podcast der Kunststiftung. Liebe Zuhörer, ich möchte Sie ganz herzlich begrüßen zu einer neuen Ausgabe unseres Podcastes Neuwerk hier in der Kunststiftung. Zu Gast ist heute die Kunstkritikerin Susan Hapgood, die das renommierte International Studio and Curatorial Program, genannt ISCP, in New York leitet. Das ISCP ist seit über 17 Jahren unser Partner für Residenzprogramme in New York. Stipendiaten aus aller Welt können dort jeweils für einige Monate arbeiten und sich von der Stadt inspirieren lassen. Das Team des ISCP organisiert für die Künstler Kontakte zu Kuratoren und Museen. Schwerpunkt der Arbeit ist die Vernetzung der internationalen Kunstszene mit Künstlern, die aus der ganzen Welt wie auch aus Sachsen-Anhalt nach New York gereist kommen. Damit ist das ISCP, kann man sagen, eine der wichtigsten Schnittstellen der zeitgenössischen Kunst in dieser so besonderen Kunststadt. Ich bin immer ganz erstaunt, wenn Susan Hapgood mir E-Mails schreibt und darunter ihre E-Mail-Signatur die Preise sozusagen auflistet, die ihre Stipendiaten immer bekommen. Und aktuell ist es so, dass es alleine 5 Länderpavillons in Venedig gibt, die von ehemaligen Stipendiaten des ISCP bespielt werden, so aus Australien, Estland, Finnland, Italien, die Niederlanden, also auch interessante Kunstländer, die ihre Stipendiaten nach New York schicken, und von New York aus geht es dann weiter nach Venedig. Susan Hapgood selber hat an der New York University im Institut für Bildende Künste Kunstgeschichte studiert. Nach ihrem Studium ist sie gleich an das Guggenheim Museum gegangen als Kuratorin und hat dort unter anderem Ausstellungen von Claes Oldenburg, Cosi van Brücken oder Giulio Paolini kuratiert. Danach ging es weiter an die American Federation of Arts, wo sie große Ausstellungstourneen für das Metropolitan Museum of Art oder das Georgia O'Keeffe Museum entwickelt und auf Reisen geschickt hat. Sie hat danach noch viele Jahre als unabhängige Kuratorin gearbeitet, bevor es dann 2011 nach Mumbai ging, wo sie die Gründerin war des sogenannten Mumbai Arts Room, einem der ersten gemeinnützigen Ausstellungsräume für zeitgenössische Kunst. Sie hat dort auch an der Nehru-Universität eine Professur inne gehabt und für das Asian Society of Indian Arts gearbeitet. Seit 2015 leitet sie das International Studio and Curatorial Program ISCP in New York und seitdem kennen sie viele unserer Stipendiaten. Liebe Susanne, herzlich willkommen hier in der Kunststiftung.
Dear Susan, a very warm welcome from my side. When you look back, you can look to a long artful life. You have a very impressive art biography. And my first question is, of course, what triggers you when you were in your childhood or youth to go in a life which is so packed and intensively filled with contemporary art?
Well, first I have to thank you, Manon, for inviting me and for doing this wonderful, I hope wonderful, podcast. And thank you to the Kunststiftung des Landes Sachsen-Anhalt for inviting me. So to your question, to answer your question, I did these things slowly. It's amazing to hear all of it together. It sounds like I remember each thing, but some of them are a long time ago. But so you ask about my childhood and my youth, and it takes me back to my mother. And I have to both thank her and blame her for my entire career. When I was a small girl at the age of, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years old, I grew up in the suburbs of New York. I grew up about a 2.5-hour drive from New York City on Long Island. And my mother, every year, would take me out of school for one day and take me on a special day, just her and me, and we would go to New York City and we would go to museums and go see the ballet and go hear music. And so at a very early age, it was a very special thing for me, and it was about love for my mother, my mother's love for me, and my mother giving me something very special. So I am the only, I am one of 3 children, and I am the one who moved to New York City. Nobody else did. And I'm the person who went into art And I think it's because of that. She made it so magical. I remember going to a Picasso exhibition at MoMA. It was a Picasso retrospective at MoMA, Museum of Modern Art in New York, when I was, I think, 7. And I remember being just blown away by, I think it was an assemblage made of sand on paper. And I recently saw that work again. How many years later? Many. And I remember it. It was magical. I saw it again, and you know, all this time between. And I saw it, and I thought, that is the work that I saw when I was a little girl. And to me, it was just magical that an artist could make a work of art out of sand on paper. Mm. You know, it was cut out hands. It was hands cut out, I think, moving around. And it was not very big, but anyway. So I remember that quite well. Yeah, that is the answer, I would say, if there's one answer.
Mm. What drove you to take a so large curatorial project and even to found new institution in contemporary art? And I know when I say large curatorial project that it took sometimes years to bring a project out, and you have to a lot of patience in producing processes, I think so.
Absolutely. I actually studied studio art as an undergraduate. I was a painting major as an undergraduate, painting and philosophy, and decided about halfway through my college that I probably was not cut out to have the, I don't know how to put it, to have the sustenance to go on as an artist. When I realized that it's not so easy, and I didn't have the self-discipline, I would say, or maybe I didn't have the drive that was strong enough, but on the other hand, I also very much loved art and learned about the curatorial field while I was being a studio art major. I didn't quite realize that there was such a thing. It had not dawned on me. And so I interned in a museum as an undergraduate and thought, now this I love. And so I segued between undergraduate and graduate school into art history and curatorial aspects of our field. And I would say that professionally, I think, as maybe we all do, I don't know, I thought I had a career path that I knew what would happen, but it didn't go that way, of course. And I didn't. I went where I felt most comfortable and most inspired. And so from my graduate studies in art history onward, I never looked back to say, oh, I'm a failed artist. I actually still do make paintings. I make very traditional watercolor paintings that I don't show anybody. But I love them. So I still do make art, but I am deeply, deeply inspired by contemporary artists and historic, you know, all art history, all design, all crafts, all architecture. And when you ask about tackling such large curatorial projects, I think I'm a hard worker, and I think that I am inspired by the role of art historians and curators to bring together, I mean, maybe it's old-fashioned to say zeitgeist, because it's impossible to say there's one zeitgeist. There are so many things happening in the world, and with social media, we are aware of things happening in so many local contexts. But still, I am very inspired by the curatorial position of recognizing things that are happening, perhaps that other people might not recognize, and bringing those things together and pointing at phenomena that are happening historically and between artists, where there are commonalities or there are common concerns. And I think artists are usually the first ones who know, and the curators are not always the first, it's the artists. Excuse me. So writing art history is something that is very motivating to me. And so I've worked on a number of books that I find extraordinarily satisfying to be able to say something, to codify, to record, to have the privilege to record, but also to have the training to try and write a history. And I'm also very inspired by artists always, so following their lead pretty much always. Mm-hmm. And most of my career prior to ISCP has been as a curator, and we'll get into ISCP later, but when you ask about even to found new institutions in contemporary art, that goes to my experiences in India, where when I first arrived, I recognized that there was not, in Bombay, in Mumbai, there was not any small nonprofit at the time that catered to contemporary artists. There were large institutions, but not small ones. The small ones were all commercial galleries, and so they had a very different function. So I founded the Mumbai Art Room at a time when I saw a need for it and wanted to demonstrate to the art community there, maybe to import a Western model and say, look at this, do you think this is a good model here? And it has been hard, very hard, to keep the Mumbai Art Room going. The model is Western, and when I was able to keep it going, it also provided me with a huge outlet to do projects, to work with local contemporary artists, and to provide an institution for the local artists that was non-commercial, which they appreciated.
And the room is still existing after all these years. This is,
It does still exist. It has been less active in the last year or two. The pandemic has certainly had a huge impact. And what its future will bear is not necessarily so clear at the moment. There's potential for it to grow, but there's also potential for it to merge.
Since 2015, you have been leading the one of the New York most largest residency programs, the ICP. How did this particular task come about to you, and how is it different from your work as a curator?
It's incredibly different.
Yeah,
incredibly different. Mm-hmm. And at this stage in my life, I'm late in my career, it is extremely satisfying, I have to say. As a curator, I think one is often scanning, trying to be as aware as possible of everything that's happening, which of course is not possible, and to be judging. There's a lot of judging going on in curatorial work and deciding who's the best. At ISCP, my job is not, I mean, occasionally I am involved in jurying and making selections, for sure, and that involves judging. But for the most part, my job there is to nurture and to support. Mm-hmm. And so I often say, I think of curators as almost like the midwife who mm-hmm. helps bring about mm-hmm. the exhibition or the art, or helps communicate whatever the intentions are. At ISCP, while yes, that is very much a part of my work, I'm also there to support whoever is in the residency. And so I take that 300%, and every single resident that comes in, I try to learn about their work instantly. I invite all of them to please invite me for a studio visit right away, so that I, during their time there, I'm very familiar with them and their work. Some are more shy than others, and wait till the end, which I always say, please don't wait to the end to invite me to your studio. Please invite me in the beginning. I don't need to see, everything accomplished. I understand how artists work. And so what I'm there to do is to support, it's our primary mission is to support the creative and professional development of the artists and curators who come to us, and that's what I do.
It's probably very satisfying to be a part of the production.
I think
helping them so much in a way.
It absolutely is. And also for a curator, curators are not usually surrounded every day in their workplace by artists. And that is just a delight. I often say it's like I'm swimming in a pool of artists, and I just love it.
Mm-hmm. What does the ICP in New York stand for? Is it, as we would say in German, a special direction, contemporary art, or is this more international, or whatever it comes and costs, of course, and what is, that we would say, the special license for the ICP?
Well, first, the letters stand for International Studio and Curatorial Program, and it is a very hybrid, unique organization. Mm-hmm. It not only provides the workspace to the people who come, that's sort of the basis. Mm-hmm. We are in an old printing factory with a lot of light, big high ceilings, which is a premium in New York City. So the space itself is quite, I wouldn't say it's luxurious, it's not luxurious, but it is conducive to creativity. And that is only the beginning, though. We also provide a number of professional benefits for everyone who comes. And so there are, well, sorry to go back a step. Of course, we are in New York, and we don't forever, one second, forget that we are in New York, and that is another reason that so many people are attracted to our institution. We are in an area outside of Manhattan. We are an area of Brooklyn that is very industrial, but also peppered with artist studios as well. So it's a kind of a slightly outside area where one can really get one's work done. But we also provide introductions through visiting critics. Each resident gets one-on-one meetings every month with a seasoned, you know, professional that we select. Mm-hmm. We also, sorry, what was the rest of the question? You were saying, what do we stand for? Yes. What do we stand for? We stand for the importance of contemporary art, contemporary artists, contemporary curators. We stand for the cultural exchange that happens with people from all over the world. So we have the international program, and we have the New York-based program, which is much smaller, which has helped seed and feed the fundament that we provide for everyone in the community. The New York-based program sort of extends our tendrils in the New York arts community. So it's not just the staff that knows people in New York, it's also the ground floor program, so that the international residents coming in have these many, many different ways to connect to what is happening in the city. So cultural exchange, the cultural exchange that happens at ISCP differs very much depending on who is there.
Has the artist to be famous to come to you?
No. Many of the artists who come to ISCP do become famous, and some come in famous, but no, absolutely not. We have almost all artists that are coming in are not super famous. Mm-hmm. Some are well-known. Many are certainly well-known within the area that they're coming from. But once they arrive in New York, they very rapidly recognize that they are in a situation where there are many, many, many people trying to, if you will, be discovered, or, you know, and I think that very quickly the realization of what is happening changes.
Comes to my next question. How does it feel when you come as an artist to New York and you collide with the city, and what does the ISCP do to turn this collision into a creative explosion?
When you first arrive at ISCP, I think that you, I hope, and I think it's fairly true. You recognize that you are arriving at an institution that is going to provide a safe community for you. You are part of a group of people that is ever-changing, not necessarily like-minded people. You are in a program that is going to help you navigate while you are in New York, and will help you achieve what you are trying to find. And people come with so many different expectations. One thing I would say is, if people arrive thinking that we are going to serve as their artistic agent, they learn that that is not what we are going to do. We are going to offer many, many different opportunities to learn, to absorb, to have exchange, to have communication with others, as well as space to make your work. Mm-hmm. We are going to be as open and supportive as we possibly can be, but we have 35 residents at a time. So there's always this mélange of people and ideas, and we also try our hardest to set up situations. I call us the glue sometimes, where we are setting up situations where there is opportunities for exchange of ideas. We have open doors once a month, where we encourage all of the residents to keep their doors open and step into one another's studios. We have a number of social gatherings, because you can't force people to be friendly to each other, especially these are not students, these are generally adults, these are late emerging to mid-career individuals who are very strong-willed and have very strong ideas. So we provide as many opportunities as possible to get to know each other, but we also recognize that there's so much to see and do in New York at any time, so many exhibitions, so many things that you want to do, you can't do it all. So we also organize field trips, and we take people together on these field trips, and we encourage them to get together on their own and go places. So we do as much as possible to help forge this supportive platform and this supportive community. And we also recognize that for people that maybe are not as, outrageously ambitious, because there are people that do arrive, you know, ready to like just go out and, you know, meet everybody instantaneously. We do have residents like that, but most people are not like that. We recognize that having community among the residents helps a great deal in exploring New York.
Do you give them advices when they're arriving for making art in New York, or did you say to him, it's better you go and look to the exhibitions because you have so many in one time in New York? What is your advice at first when they're arriving? And
We advise residents during orientation, which is within the first several days. We advise them, and we repeat this over and over again, that they should take advantage of every offering we as a program offer to them. Some don't do that. We don't force them to, but we offer invitations, that we send emails very frequently to them saying, this is happening on Thursday, next week we are doing this, would you like this, here is the visiting critic coming, sign up for this. We don't force them to do anything. We encourage studio visits immediately with me and with our arts residency manager. And so we are happy to talk about what is on a computer screen. We are happy also to talk about what is on the walls or on a table. Mm-hmm. So if there is production, you know, happening immediately, great. We don't force production, however. We recognize that people work in different ways, and we provide free paper. We provide paint, we have donated paint, golden paint. That's a brand of paint. We have electronic media that we offer if anyone wants to borrow. We have monitors and we have projectors. We do not have extensive crafts workshops at all, but we are in, as I said, in this industrial area where you can find access to many different things. So in terms of producing art, there's a wonder, everybody gets their own individual locked studio space, which is quite a precious thing in New York. So if they choose to make work, we are delighted to come talk about it. But we, again, we do not force that. And we also, 3 times a year, we have open studios. So what tends to happen is, as we get towards these open studios, people are generally, can get frantically productive. And when we don't have open studios, they work at a less frantic speed.
Yes, do you remember our first scholarship artist, Franka Bartolomé, when she came 50 years before to New York? She was looking for a special printing machine, and you find it for her in a little factory, and she could work there, and she was quite happy to even to print in New York. She was not expecting this.
Really? I didn't... Who is this?
Franka Bartolomé. She was our first artist which we sent. Susan, what is your favorite contemporary art when you're in New York? Can you give us advice when we go in summer to New York, what we should see? Or it can even be something small.
I love all of the art venues. I wrote down 2. I would say my go-to places that I always leave feeling extraordinarily inspired and enlightened. The Whitney Museum and the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which you could say is not a contemporary art venue, but they always do have contemporary art on view now, and they've become stronger and stronger. But I also am so deeply inspired by the just the worlds of art that are at the Metropolitan. I also am a big fan of PS1, MoMA PS1, the New Museum. You know, there are so many. The Guggenheim, of course, where I used to work. MoMA. MoMA always has great stuff to see. So it depends on, you know, what's on view. The Wallach Art Gallery at Columbia University. The Gray Art Gallery at New York University. These are all venues I go to regularly. Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep up. I think it's more based on which exhibition does one want to see? Because there are always so many things happening. You have to know what you're most interested in. I also always advise, and sometimes I forget the first day, but there is an app for your phone that I advise all of the residents to download immediately. It's called Seesaw, and it is more the commercial galleries, but it is a wonderful app that allows you to... Unfortunately, it doesn't list every single show because it's costly for the galleries to list themselves, apparently. But it allows you to read what is in the galleries, pick, and then it maps it for you automatically. So you pick, and you can toggle back and forth between images of what it is, press release, where it is, and then map it.
Sounds good. We have to.
Can I say one more thing about what you asked? What advice do you have? I forgot to mention the most productive and beneficial residencies, I think, are for the people who come in and act as a sponge. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones who generally have the best residencies, mm-hmm. and the ones who absorb and absorb and absorb, and I think in doing so quite often end up breaking out of their routine because they just are no longer in the same place they were when they came in. It's almost like a chemical reaction.
Yeah, my last question is, what is your impression about the fellows from Saxony-Anhalt, how they made it in New York? Did you still have contact with them, for example?
Mm-hmm. Yes. They have been among the most polite, gentle, sweet residents that we have had. contributing very much to the community. And as you very rightly mentioned, they have come in with a foundation of handcrafts and handwork and facility with, especially I'm thinking of Ilko Köstler, a facility with drawing and draftsmanship that has been amazing, and printing. Ilko has kept in touch and sends a bunch of us actually work prints that we receive very happily. We're always delighted to have them, and my bulletin board has many of them on them. I also remember Anne Summer's work with Made with Clothing, which I thought was very innovative and lovely, and in retrospect, soft sculpture and textile-based sculpture is so prevalent right now in New York anyway, that, you know, I remember that quite fondly as well.
So Susan, we will send you a new artist soon, and we just right now we put it on the internet, the application, and I hope a lot of people apply and try to come to you. Susan, I'm very happy that you are here. We will show you a little bit around more about Sachsen-Anhalt and the artist, of course, and I would say we see you in New York. Thank you so much for this interesting podcast, and I hope a lot of people will hear it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.